Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting I Saw It, Francisco de Goya, Printmaker. This exhibition features all four of the Spanish artists' major print series in their entirety for the first time on the West Coast. Now on view. More at NortonSimon.org.
You have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes, too, when you donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
During the pandemic, there have been serious concerns about the economic impacts on wineries and breweries, which, of course, are significant businesses and have huge fan bases here in California. But what about distilleries? They might be smaller enterprises collectively, but California has a very important craft distillery business. We're going to talk about what's changed during the course of the pandemic, particularly as, you know, for many of the craft distilleries, they were just getting started. We're joined by the head distiller at Blinking Owl in Santa Ana, also vice president of the California Artisanal Distillers Guild, Ryan Friesen. Ryan, thank you for being with us. Share with us, first of all, what things have been like at your Santa Ana distillery.
Morning, Mr. Mantle. Pleasure to be here with you and your listeners. Thank you so much. Things have started to get a little bit better here, but it was quite a ways to get to this point. And really, that recovery is just beginning. We're not just because things are opening back up doesn't mean that we're fully recovered. So it's good to see people back out, and it's starting to feel a little bit more normal. But I think we have a long ways to go yet.
One of the challenges I know is a distillery, you don't typically, although there are some that have restaurants, that's not the norm. So to be open for tastings would be difficult. And also, do you operate with additional restrictions on distribution of your products, say, compared to wines?
Well, the limiting factor that we have is that our friends in the beer and wine industry are able to ship product directly to consumers. And during the pandemic, the state gave some temporary relief on that front for certain license types of distillers in the state. And many folks have been doing that. Now, the question is, how long will we be able to keep doing that? Because it's been a lifeline for us, and we need a legislative solution for that. And while we're working on it, we're also working with our state regulators on administrative solutions.
What's been the stated justification for not allowing distillers to do that kind of shipping distribution?
It's just a long-standing situation that hasn't yet been rectified, really. The wine and beer industry has been lobbying, especially here in the state of California, for a long time, for 30 or 40 years. The craft spirits movement in California just got going before the pandemic. We were really starting to take off. It really took the knees out from under us and probably set us back a couple years. So we're kind of clawing back that status and that growth so that we can do the same things that our friends in beer and wine have done.
Now, to stay afloat, did your distillery get into the hand sanitizer business?
We did. And between direct-to-consumer shipping and the hand sanitizer side of things, that's what kept us going. It kept the lights on. It kept staff employed. Ultimately, we did have to go through a short furlough, but it kept us going for much longer than it would have otherwise. And then the direct-to-consumer shipping represents sort of our path forward. Now that hand sanitizer, you know, it's still part of what we're doing. It's not a moneymaker. It just keeps things going. But the sanitizer is sort of setting by the wayside. So we need direct consumer shipping to stick around.
We're talking with the head distiller at Blinking Owl Distillery in Santa Ana, Ryan Friesen, who's also vice president of the California Artisanal Distillers Guild. Joining us, VP of Government Relations for the Distilled Spirits Council of the U.S., Adam Smith. He lobbies on behalf of distilleries. Thank you, sir, for being with us. I mean, it seems like generally, what we colloquially call hard liquor does have a very different playing field, right? Because even the licenses to be able to serve spirits are, you know, much more difficult to get than beer and wine licenses.
Yeah. Hi, Larry, and hi, Ryan. Good to hear your voice. A general license in California is probably four or five times as expensive as just a beer and wine license. And a general license allows you to serve distilled spirits, beer, and wine. But there's, you know, the cost and startup to get a spirits product ready. I mean, there's usually more aging involved. So the distillers are putting in a huge amount of capital up front to even get their distillery up and not even realizing what challenges they face in the marketplace as it comes to a spirits provider.
What sort of pushback do you get from legislators over distilleries being allowed on an ongoing basis, not just in this pandemic crisis, but going forward to ship their product?
Well, there's not a lot of pushback from legislators, Larry, which has been the interesting fact. They're really, really supportive of their local businesses. There is a tier in the alcohol world, the wholesale tier or the distributor tier, and you know, they're fearful of what a direct-to-consumer program may look like. And a lot of what we're doing now is not only educating legislators, but also educating some of our industry partners who, without them, our three-tier system would crumble. And that is incredibly important because that's going to be the major distribution channel for most of these distillers. But the DTC, the direct-to-consumer avenue, is just as important as they can reach their consumers directly and understand exactly what they're looking for in a new product.
Well, and it's just hard for me to believe that direct-to-consumer is going to so seriously erode the distribution of hard liquor to the places where you get it now that it would make a huge difference. I mean, we have all kinds of wine clubs in California that distribute wine, but does that do we know that that significantly has a negative effect on wine purchased elsewhere?
Absolutely not, Larry. Direct-to-consumer shipping for wine has been prevalent now for almost 30 years in California, 25 years in many other states. It's in 44 states now, and it's still only 3% of volume of wine produced that goes through that DTC channel. So the distributors are still carrying about 97% of what you see on your shelves, and it helps build that brand recognition with consumers. And that benefits wholesalers because that demand is there. They're going to snatch onto something that's in high demand and want to distribute it.
All right. We'll continue our conversation. We have with us Adam Smith of the Distilled Spirits Council of the U.S., who lobbies on behalf of distilleries, Ryan Friesen of Blinking Owl Distillery in Santa Ana. Coming up, we'll hear from the popular Portuguese Bend Distilling in downtown Long Beach. Simon Haxton, one of the owners of Portuguese Bend, with us. And we'll talk with the president of the American Craft Spirits Association, Becky Harris, as well. She's the chief distiller of Catoctin Creek Distilling Company in Virginia. If you have questions about distilleries and how they operate here in California, the restrictions that they face, please give us a call. We're at 866-893-KPCC. We'll be back in 1 minute. It's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. We're talking about the challenge distilleries have faced here in California with the pandemic, and they got a bit of a reprieve with the temporary ability to directly ship their product to consumers. Question is, what's going to happen after that temporary ability expires? With us is Simon Haxton, one of the owners of Portuguese Bend Distilling in downtown Long Beach. Simon, thank you very much for being with us. Now, you have a restaurant, right? Was that helpful through this or not?
Yes, Larry, that's correct. And it was very helpful. One of the other privileges that we received temporarily during the shutdown was to be able to produce and deliver to our customers ready-to-drink cocktails. So that did help out a lot. We also produced hand sanitizer during the pandemic and provided to-go food.
All right. So everybody just trying to do what they can, of course, to survive. What kind of a difference do you think it would make if you were able to do direct-to-consumer sales? Do you think that on an ongoing basis that would be a sizable part of your profits?
I think so. Well, as far as a profit mix, I couldn't really say, but any lifeline at this point helps. I know the community talks quite a bit, and there aren't as many that have restaurants that are working, which those folks are still feeling some pressure. But one of the things that it could do, as has been mentioned previously, is to get our products into the hands of customers that can't come directly to our location. and pick it up. And especially since we've been going through the pandemic, it's becoming a little bit more difficult to get onto the shelves of grocery stores and other large box retail distributor through our distributor. So that would help us get to some more folks and build our fan base a little bit quicker.
All right. Simon Haxton with us from Portuguese Bend Distilling. Also with us, President of the American Craft Spirits Association, Becky Harris. Becky, thank you for being with us. You're a chief distiller. How is your company in Virginia doing through all this?
Thank you so much. It is such a pleasure to be here. We are holding our own. It has been incredibly challenging over the past year. We were also given a temporary privilege to reach out to our customers through shipping them spirits directly. And it really has been amazing. Some of my work with our state association has been seeing just what the effect has been for other small business distilleries in the Commonwealth of Virginia. And what we saw was that the smallest distilleries, the ones making maybe, you know, less than, maybe even less than 5,000 cases a year, were the ones that really grabbed this opportunity with both hands and tried to make their customers aware that they could now reach out to them that way. You know, the biggest, the larger distilleries really already have these established distribution channels, and they don't need it in the same way that the small distilleries do. And we also noticed even that when we started reaching out to our customers about being able to ship something to them, a lot of our customers just went out and bought it at the store.
Yeah. And in the case of the temporary reprieve you got for shipping to customers, was that only within the state of Virginia, or were you allowed to sell your product outside the state?
We are allowed to ship our products to any states where it is legal for a customer to receive it. And right now, that's probably about seven. I think seven states really have good, solid processes for that. My dream as president of our Small Craft Spirits Association is to try to get those numbers up. I think this could be something that could build these small businesses up in the way that so many small wineries in the Napa Valley got known through tourism. Tourists come, they want to take something home. Why shouldn't they be able to ship home some of the spirits that they taste somewhere, just like I have done when I visited the wineries out in California?
Yeah, Becky Harris with us. She's president of the American Craft Spirits Association. Adam Smith of the Distilled Spirits Council of the U.S., when is legislation on this scheduled to be taken up?
So, Larry, we had a bill introduced this year that allows all distillers and breweries to ship their product out of state or in state. And that bill was unfortunately held up this April, but we're we will have a hearing in January when the legislature comes back from their winter break.
Okay, but it didn't get out of committee this year, which has to be discouraging. Do you know how long the temporary status will continue here in California?
Well, there has been no indication from either the governor or the Department of the Alcoholic Beverage Control that they're going to be removing any of their temporary regulatory relief measures anytime soon. What we've been talking about is reopened doesn't mean recovered. And a lot of these small businesses, and there's been a lot of restaurants throughout California, a lot of small businesses that have closed. And I don't think anyone in the governor's office down through the ABC has any plans or wants to see any other businesses fail because of some of the government mandated shutdown. So we don't anticipate that. We are talking to them and working with them actively to keep this temporary exemption in place until there is some movement on the legislation.
Overall sales of distilled spirits in the U.S. during the pandemic, did it go up as people were more locked down, or you know, what were the sales figures?
So obviously the off-premise sales numbers went through the roof. In some areas it was because of stocking up, when there were lockdowns ordered. So you're seeing the off-premise between 20 to 30% increase, but that doesn't make up for the loss of sales on the on-premise, which would be a restaurant or a bar, that were forced to close or socially distance or had mandated capacity caps. So essentially it's flat. Globally, you're seeing the sales down a little bit. But, you know, I would be remiss to say that there were a lot of rumors and speculation that everyone was at home drinking. Well, that just wasn't the case. Mm. It shifted the percentage from the on-premise to the off-premise.
So distilled spirits, it sounds like, are still much more consumed in public venues like restaurants and bars than in the home. Is that true?
Well, the cocktail culture, Larry, that has been really driven by some of these small distillers and some of their great products has generated this boom in going out and enjoying the cocktail. But then you're seeing, you know, the cocktail-to-go programs, you're seeing the ready-to-drinks that are in a can that a lot of small distillers have shifted to making because that's what the consumer is expecting. They want the experience with that cocktail. And essentially, yes, it is a great thing to go out and be seen and, you know, have that cocktail and enjoy it socially and responsibly.
All right, Adam Smith, thank you so much. VP of Government Relations for the Distilled Spirits Council of the U.S. He lobbies on behalf of distillers nationwide. Ryan Friesen of Blinking Owl Distillery in Santa Ana. Simon Haxton of Portuguese Bend Distilling in downtown Long Beach. And Becky Harris, who's the president of the American Craft Spirits Association. And she's the chief distiller at Catoctin Creek Distilling Company in Virginia. Thank you all so much for talking with us about the present and future of your businesses, which I'm sure in so many cases are real labors of love with craft distilling. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Fresh Air with Terry Gross. Pulitzer Prize winning author Renette Gordon Reed is Terry's guest. Then tonight at 7 o'clock, our Austin Cross hosts a statewide program looking at what's changed in California in the years since the killing of George Floyd. Have a very good day.
The LAS Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at las.com/sweeps.